How are we doing today? All right, better than the nine, all right? I was like, I was like, oh boy. So you're a little bit better. We finished last week 3 weeks in the one Greek sentence of Paul, and so he moves on to another long Greek sentence in which we can apply this. He's telling them how, he's telling the readers how he frequently prays for them. So not only can we see some really important aspects of a Christian life, but we also see this as like a model for how we might pray for one another. So, speaking of models, I thought, why not bring out Mr. Potato Head, right? I mean, why not, right? Oh, hold on. He's already put together too much, so we gotta, okay. Let's put together, we can't have that. There he is, all right. Actually, I can probably give him his nose. I was thinking about this yesterday, and as I was thinking about Mr. Potato Head and Ephesians and how when I meet Paul someday in heaven, it's going to be like a spirit-led letter like Ephesians through the ages of generations of the church. And you, Mr. Potato Head. Are you kidding me? That's this one, I think. Where's his nose go? Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah. And I'll be like, hey, listen, Paul, I got to keep these people awake. You killed Eutychus. He dropped out of a window because you preached so long. But then he raised him to life because, you know. So I probably won't say that to Paul. All right. So now just stay with me, right? Because it's going to be a model. And I wanted him to just try to, like, keep it, like, how do we pray for one another? And we're going to see that first. And I couldn't quite think, like, how am I going to represent this? So I went with lips, all right? And he's going to start with thanksgiving, right? And use your lips to be thankful. And we'll talk about that because that's something we often skip. How thankful for we are specifically for one another and what we see, right? All right, then he's going to go on and he's going to say, all right, I'm praying for more though. I'm praying for something. I'm praying for knowledge. All right, so I know a hat, but I'm thinking mind. You got to keep that knowledge in there. Yeah, all right, thank you. All right, but also, very important, our ears, right? You got to hear, and we're talking specifically the knowledge of him, hearing God's word and keeping it there, but even more for wisdom, right? In fact, the eyes of our heart, right? Oh, now he can see you, look, right? That we might see things the way God does, that we might experience and practice it with wisdom. But then my favorite, feet, okay? And this is, he's going to pray that they have more of a, it's okay, you'll be fine, don't worry about it. That's been bothering us. Oh, here it is. I was going to make a Mike Tyson joke, but not all of you would understand that. So you'd have to be my age at least to do that. All right. So the feet are he prays for a more awareness of hope. Right? What's that? Because sometimes, man, life, for some of you right now, it's like, and you need to be able to keep moving and steadfast run your race because of the hope that's to come. And then lastly, we're going to see, it's not very reflective with Mr. Potato Head, but it's power, right? It's the seps, right? But not your power, not his power, but that you become increasingly more aware of the power of Christ that's in us and around us. So we'll break that down. But first, I feel like we need prayer. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord, I just pray that as silly as an example as that is, that this would be etched in our minds, that we would learn to better to pray for one another in ways that aren't just physical but are spiritual, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you will get me out of the way as just a simple vessel for your word of truth. Thank you for the opportunity to sing, worship, and pray and celebrate the Lord's Supper. Thank you for all our worship team and Josh and all those. We thank you for our kids downstairs and the teachers and nursery. And Lord, all of that we can come to know you better. And so I pray through your spirit you would do that in us today. And I ask this, Lord, that you'd be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. 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 So we're just titling this one aspect of that, the feet, our hope, right? So we are going to close out chapter 1. We always have it on the screen, so don't feel compelled, but if you have your Bible, and it's going to start in verse 15, we have Bibles around underneath somewhere on the chairs in front of you. If you don't own a Bible or you know someone who needs a Bible, feel free to take that and give it away. We'll replenish it someday. And we love handing out God's word. So he's finished that sentence of bless God because of all he's blessed us with, right? And now he's going to get to this. He says, for this reason, all right, comma, I'm going to come back to it, but verse 16, for this reason I do not cease to give thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. Now, it's obviously hyperbole, but what he's saying is, it's not like I just prayed for you once. I'm consistently, constantly remembering you in my prayers, and I am thankful to God for you. Now, remember, this is a readership, not just probably in Ephesus, but lots of different house churches had this letter read to them. Some he knew very well. Some Paul might not have ever met, but he was so thankful for them. Why? Backtrack. For this reason, I'm thankful. Why? Because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. So I'm not thankful for the big buildings you built. I'm not thankful for, you know, how beautiful you are. I'm thankful for your faith in Jesus. And how do we know that faith exists? What's the evidence of it? The love that you have for one another. Now, this isn't Eros love. This isn't romance love or sexual love or even brother love. This is agape love. It's a word that means like cross-centered love, which means all you, none for me. Any kind of love we try to do in the flesh, even if we're doing a nice thing, it's usually with the expectation that we get something back. Agape love is you, because of Christ, you. You first. You be blessed. You be helped. And he's saying, I'm so thankful for all the reports I'm hearing of the ways you are loving one another. And so this idea to start a prayer that we sometimes forget, to be thankful for your love and faith, how to apply this. Now, if for anyone who says, yeah, I have faith in Christ, like there's this can be like sort of what we call a check engine light, you know? That dreaded thing that comes on and then starts to blink. You're driving still, maybe, but you better pull over because it's not going to go well, right? So to look at your life and really between you and just in prayer, and right now, if somebody, if the Lord were to say, hey, what aspects of agape love are going on in your life? How are you loving people? And you're like, well, 10 years ago, it's a bad sign. Now, I'm not God. I'm not going to say what's going on, but it's not a good sign, right? They're saying I'm in Christ. But remember the apple and the apple tree, if I'm truly in Christ, and the more I believe in Christ, the more agape love's coming out. Perfectly? No. We're going to see. He's going to ask in this prayer for more and more. But it starts with, oh, let's stop and say, man. And I got to be honest. I've been saying this all weekend. It's so true. In fact, I'm sorry. I don't do it enough. What do I mean? To pause and just say, you guys are awesome. And I know it's a ragtag group and there's lots of places we're not awesome, but God is awesome in you. And I get to see it. I don't always, it's some like when God gives you leadership aspects which you need and he has for me, I'm always looking to the next hill to conquer. Like, what can we do better? What can we do more? And that's good. But the best motivator sometimes is to stop and say, wow. And I can say that honestly. The agape love, I have a front row seat of seeing and all of you and so many others here. It's mind-blowing. The person, I've walked by holding a screaming baby. I can't do that. Barely could do that with my own kids. Usually Heather, take them. I can't do it. I'll see them when they're teenagers and they're screaming in a different way, right? But I've seen it. Why? So mom and dad can be up here with a break to learn and to worship. That's agape love, right? Something that a lot of people might not see. Or a children's church worker with one of our special needs students. Because saying that every single soul is made in the image of God are not just words to you. They mean something. That's love. Sitting beside a struggling teen and just encouraging and praying. That's agape love. I'm thankful I see that in you. And I see when we do a funeral and you might help with the food or you might help with the music, you might help in behind the scenes or just there. That's so someone doesn't have to grieve alone. That's love. And I'm thankful, truly, how often I get to see it. small group leaders, as you email and you plan and you pray for, that maybe no one else sees, but the Lord does, and I see it, and I'm like, man, that is love. That's love. I've seen so many, in nursing homes, celebrating people that are part of our church family, just can't come here anymore, and you're there, and you're just hanging with them, encouraging them. That's agape love. Thank you. Thank you, God, for people who do that because of their faith in Christ. I remember not too long ago, there was a couple of our ladies were in the bathroom, and there was a lady they'd never met, and she was just weeping. Now, in the flesh, you want to leave that situation. I don't know what's happening here. I just want to go to the bathroom. But they came in alongside and encouraged her and prayed with her. Then they brought her to me, but that's okay. It's all right. We all got our job to play. But that's agape love for the brethren, for the one another. And it's important to pause. Can we do it better? Yes. And we will ask the Lord, as we'll see the rest of this prayer. But it's important to say, because if not, you get jaded, and you're only seeing what's wrong and what people aren't doing. And but sometimes you just be like, God, this is a miracle. A bunch of sinners, recovering sinners, saved by your grace, and loving one another in a way that's just mind-blowing. In ways, I know some of you, I don't see it, and that's okay. I'm not God. I don't need to see it. I know it's happening. I know it is. And I'm thankful for you. And I don't say it enough to the Lord, and I want to change that, because the best motivator is like, yeah, we need to get better, but man, God, you are awesome in us. And so he does pray a very brief prayer of thanksgiving, but he keeps going, and he starts to ask for stuff. But I want you to notice it's not for the broken leg or the surgery, and we do ask for those things, but he's going to ask specifically and constantly for something else, some things else. So before getting to it, it's October, so, my goodness, oh, there it is, my baseball, okay, I don't know who wants to be a pitcher, anybody, come on, we just got these lights, you really think I'm serious about that? They're like, yeah, you'd never hit me, you be quiet, all right? I want you to think about baseball. It's October, right? And even if you don't really care, just stay with me. If you were just like a person randomly who's never even knows anything about it, says, you know what? I'm going to play baseball. If they just show up to a game and someone hands them a bat, they're not going to know what to do with it, right? Because they've never seen it. They know nothing about it. They're going to be a danger to themselves and others. You've seen it if you've ever watched a T-ball game, right? Yeah. So what you need to do, you need to learn, right? You need to learn the game. Like, all right, this is how you stand. This is how you throw, right? Like, and you learn. But what good is just learning if you don't show up to practice? So you show up and you begin to get in the batting cages. You learn how to use a mitt and you get coaching and you watch more. And then what's good at all that if you don't play? You get in the game and you get better and better as you practice, right? They go hand in hand. Now, we're not preaching about baseball here. But by the way, because some of you think you're really good, pretty sure when I turn on my TV this October and I see who's playing, it's not going to be you. If it is, let us know. Our church softball team could really use you, all right? But probably not. You know why? Because no matter how much you learn, no matter how much you practice, no matter how much, there are some guys, you turn on, you see, they can throw this thing like 100 miles per hour, it's moving and it hits exactly where they want to throw it. And then there's other guys who go, and they hit it like 500 feet. That is not just learning, it is not just practicing, it is it's God-given ability on top of it. And so I want you to remember those elements as we look at something far more important, even if you love baseball, all right? And if none of you like that, at least my dad would be proud. He loves baseball. So there you go. Look at this verse with me, because he just said, I'm thankful. Remembering my prayers. What? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may what? Give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Come on, early 2000 Christians, right? What do you think that song's about, this verse, right? So what he's putting the two together, right? So he's praying for knowledge and wisdom. So he's saying, I want the Spirit to open your minds and understanding to learn more about who God is and more about the values of God, the character of God, what God wants of us, all of that. Because if you just show up in life and go, I'm going to be a Christian, and someone's like, well, who's God? I don't know. What does he want? No idea. You're flailing around. You're a danger to yourself, right? You need to learn. How do we do that? Well, that's what you're doing right now. Hearing God's word preached, going to Bible studies or small groups, reading it for yourself, listening to it, memorizing it, praying through it, God's word. And what happens is, because this isn't just a textbook, like you're, you know, learning some other subject, the Spirit illuminates God's word in a way just like, yes, that's happened to you if you're in Christ, right? People will come up to me after sermons and be like, oh, God showed me this when you were preaching. I'm like, I wasn't preaching about that at all. What is wrong with you? It's the Spirit, right? Like, it's what you needed. And it happens sometimes when I'm reading it, right? I'll read the same passage. The meaning does not change. But sometimes God just, right? He gives me that knowledge. But, I said this a couple weeks ago, let's say you have so much knowledge, you know the Hebrew and the Greek backwards, and the whole Bible memorized. Similar to the Pharisees, by the way. They knew the Bible way better than we did. And yet, what good is it if you're still a jerk? No good. That's why Jesus was always yelling at them. People who know the Bible better than us, Jesus is like, you guys are brood of vipers. So the knowledge is important, but you're just going to pop. No, you got to get in the game. You got to practice it. And slowly but surely, and that's what wisdom is. It's putting into practice the knowledge of God. And so now you're far more patient with your boss at work, with your kids at home. You're far more ready to forgive than hold on to the bitterness perfectly? No. That's why he's praying this. We need more of this. More. And then just like any other, like you're playing baseball, you're going to get better and better. And here's the good news. There's no such thing as professional Christians. No, not pastors. He didn't give me an ability to be higher up. You and you and you in Christ have available to you the same Holy Spirit as me. As Paul did, as any of us. And so what do? We not only learn that this is so important in our own life, but pray. Pray for others. Yes, the physical prayers are good, but pray, God, what he needs, what she needs, like in your group or in your, like the person you sat next to today, they need more knowledge of you and how to live that out. Give them wisdom. I pray that all the time. Pour out wisdom and discernment, Lord. I will never see the way you see unless you give it to me. And he does. That's the Spirit of the living God. And so Paul says, man, I am frequently praying for these things for you. And he continues. He says, I'm also praying that you may know what is the hope. That's the feat to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? In this world, it's hard. I mean, there's a lot of good things in this world, but there is a lot of hard things. And man, they can beat us down to the point where it's just like, all we see it. All we see. And so that's why Paul's like, he knows. Paul's in prison. Lest you think he's sitting in a palace somewhere, easy for you to say, Paul. He's in prison, and he's saying, we have hope, and I want you to know it more. He's writing to people that were persecuted and hunted, and some of them even killed, like Paul would be, for the Christian faith. He says, I'm praying, and despite of all of that, that God opens your minds to hope. And we need to pray that for one another, a prayer to understand hope. I've used an illustration before that I fully 100% attributed to my wife, Heather, who's here right now. So let the record state, she came up with this, all right? You haven't given me a lot of illustrations since, I got to say. She keeps them all to herself. But this one is so good. And you've heard me use it before if you've been a while, but if not, you'll love it. Hope is in this world is like being in the airport. I was just in an airport recently. Rarely is that where you want to be. Especially if you're there in delayed flights, canceled flights. They make them more comfortable now. They try. Restaurants, shopping, like, yeah, like we want to be at the airport. Overpriced stuff. I bought Pepsi for like $17. I needed it, and I was trapped. So here it is, $17 for like five pills of Pepsi that didn't even help me because the food's mediocre in the airport. And yet, you're sitting on these nice seats. Well, we have chargers. Yeah, because I need my phone because it's so boring in the airport, right? And so that's how the airport is. Yet, in the airport, assuming you're going somewhere good, right? Where that's Aruba or Hawaii or the Grand Canyon or Disney World or, man, just going home. And you're sitting in the airport. You see that person and they're in that uncomfortable chair with the Pepsi. That was me, right? And a kid kicking the back. That was not me, all right? I would have moved. But and he's just smiling. You're like, why are you smiling? Not because I'm here. Because where I'm going home. And I'm so, it is the hope of what's to come that enables you to keep moving in the present. And it's so easy to lose sight of that, right? If you only think, and people who don't know Christ, this is the airport, this is all there is. So they get angry. You better not mess up my airport. That little kid kicking my seat, I snap his foot right off. Get out of here, right? I don't want that thing. Like, because this is the airport. This is all we got. And yet, it isn't all we got. It's just the airport. And so when we pray for one another, yes, pray for healing. But pray that they will not lose hope as they're walking through this illness or injury or pray, yes, that their marriage is completely resolved, but pray even more that they do not give up the hope of Christ as they walk through that dark time. Pray that as they're lonely or grieving, yes, that they're healed, and yes, all that, but pray that they do not lose sight of the hope of the inheritance that's coming. Imagine you know someone, and you're like, man, they have a little bit of money, but not a lot, but they act like they're really confident about their future. And you find out, you ask them a little bit, and you find out they have a great aunt that they never met who was a multimillionaire and left them a trust fund. When they get to a certain age, and a year from now, they get it all. And so they don't have it yet, but they're living as if they do because the hope is there. That's what Paul's saying. It's so easy to lose sight of that, to lose sight of the enemies in this world, and instead have our hope, because if we don't, and we think that's all there is, we get so despondent, we give up. I said, I don't want that. And the worst enemy that every one of us faces is death. Now, I know Enoch and Elijah, you Bible nerds, I got you, all right? Everyone else, including Lazarus, by the way, twice. He eventually died, right? And he was probably happy. But the first time, we're all like, oh, that must have been so awesome for Lazarus. What? He probably came back, are you kidding me? I was in glory, Jesus. I know, man, but I had to make an example of your life. You'll be fine. You'll get there. Death can be that, but if you know that the hope of Christ, it's but the sting of death has been taken away. This past, last Saturday, if you were happened to be here as we celebrated the life of Robin, Rusty's mom. I had the Rope of Hope, which a lot of you have seen. But a couple of you even said afterwards, you know, man, it hit different. I've seen you do that 100 times. And I'm like, it always hits different at funerals because it's right in front of your face, right? What is? Now, if you've never seen this, this is our Rope of Hope. And this represents your life. And notice, it just keeps going through the wall and down the road and keeps on going and going and going and going. Because you have an everlasting soul. It's this green tape that's the airport. It's the here. There's many blessings in this life. I don't want to take away from that. God is good even in the green tape. But this is where the strife and the hardship, this is where we need the hope. This is where death is. And I said that day, Robin, right, she had a lot of problems in her life. She did. But she knew Jesus. And so I said, she's right about here. Isn't that awesome? She has all this to go. And so to whatever you might endure in this, even facing death, you say, yeah. But this awaits. The glories of Christ await. And so specifically, I don't want to just remind you of that. I want to remind you, as Paul said, is to pray that way for others. Just pray. Lord, give them, remind them of the hope that they have in Christ. The trillions of dollars, spiritually speaking, that's coming. The never-ending, glorious riches of Christ. Whatever you endure in this world is nothing compared to that. Keep running your race. And so, he finishes with that one last thing. Remember those arms, right? Because he gives us a bunch of synonyms of just power. Watch. He says, and I'm praying, continue sentence, what is the immeasurable, I don't know what that is, immeasurable, you can't measure it, greatness of Christ's power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might. It's even more pronounced in the Greek. Power, might, power, immeasurable greatness, right? You can't even explain it. He says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The same power of the Spirit that raised Jesus to life is at work in you. It's with us right now. And I'm not trying to be offensive, but we are kind of a ragtag group of people. Let's just be honest. And yet the power of the Spirit is with us right now. And it's so easy to forget that. That's why we pray. Open our eyes. Remind us. Not only the power of the resurrection, but he said after that, that same Spirit raised him to the right hand of the heavenly places. That's the place of authority. Watch. He continues in verse 21. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet. And I'll get to the rest in a sec, but what he's saying here, a lot of these are synonyms for the domain of darkness, which later on in the letter, he's going to get more specific. The demonic realm, the spiritual enemy. You know Christ has won, but they're still messing up until he comes back. And they want to mess with you. And so, like, in the world of these readers, the occult was very pronounced, and so is it our culture. And so this power that people dabble in that's bad. And often they would use, names were very important. So it was so important that he just pray, God reveal to them that there is no name like the name of Jesus, that he is the name above all names. Whatever power you might be dabbling in, Jesus is above it all. Whatever strong spiritual stronghold that's trying to keep you in addiction and to keep you fearful and to keep you, no. The power of Christ is above all of it. And then he continues, he put all things on his feet, gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, if you're a Bible nerd, awesome if you are, just don't be a jerk, right? But if you're a Bible nerd, that's great. And you can go to a commentary and study, especially 23, but 22 and 23, a lot of interpretive issues that I don't have time for, but it's pretty cool. But I think the best way of explaining what he's saying here is that he put all things on his feet, whether you like him, you don't care, you don't like it, it doesn't matter. You are under the name of Christ. Everything is his footstool. Everything, every politician, every president, every king, every political party, every army, every spiritual force, all of it is the footstool of the power of Christ, right? And then he says, but he's also the head of his church. Remember, there's no context for individual Christianity. I'm not saying you can't be saved. I'm just saying he's expecting you to be part of the body, to be part of the body where he's the head. He nourishes, he directs, he shows us where to go, and he gives us his power to be a force for the gospel in this world, to fill this world with the gospel. And so he prays to understand the power of Christ. Why do we need it? Because we get beaten. We feel weak. In your strength, you are. I remember this comic strip. It's been in different kind of forms, but the one that I remember seeing is of this little fat house cat. I have a cat. Today I was telling her, you're kind of like the cat, and she didn't like that at all. Little fat house cat. Sitting there, right? And just imagine, there's these mean alley cats surrounding this little fat house cat, right? And the cat just goes, meow. And they begin to run. And the little cat's like, yeah, look at me, right? And what we see is behind are the three dogs that house cat lives with, right? So the little house cat's like, they're not running because of you. They're running because of the power that's behind you. And so you and I, if you think it's up to you, yeah, you're going to stay in addiction. You're going to be a slave to that sin forever. You're going to, but it isn't up to you. The Spirit of the living God is in you, around you, and working through you, that you have that in Christ. And so we pray that way for one another. We live that way. We believe in healing. Now, sometimes he chooses to wait because he's doing a better thing. But do not pray weekly, God, I'm praying for healing. Anything's not going to happen. Why? He's over all things. That marriage is a completely waste of time. Why? The power of Christ is above that. right? You pray that way. You live that way. Now you share Christ with that person, and you're not afraid of them laughing at you, mocking you, because I don't care. The power of Christ saves. And so I believe it. And I am a little fat little house cat. So what? I got the power of the Spirit with me, in me, among us. You see, the enemy wants you to think you're just in the corner, like with nothing to do. But no, no, Christ has decided to fill us as his body, to go out there with his power, with his strength, to fight for what is good and right, to fight with the gospel so that people might know the living God. And you aren't doing that on your own. You're doing that in him. And so, not only remind that to yourself, but pray that for each other. I would be honored if that's the way you pray for me. Right? Like, yeah, pray for healing when I'm sick, and pray for I don't fall off this stage someday, because I probably will. Pray for that. But more importantly, pray for these items that we talked about, the hope and the power of Christ. That would remind me that's who I really am, because I forget all the time. So here's what I want to do. I always pray, obviously, at the end of our message, but I want to specifically pray after this model for you and for those of us who are online as well. I'm praying for you. So let's bow your heads and just let me pray over you as our worship team comes. Father, Father of glory, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost, I confess I do not thank you enough for these people. I thank you for these here. Some I know well, some I don't. I know you're working in their lives. I've seen just the tip of the iceberg of the agape love that you are doing through these people. Some that others see, others only you see. Remind them that it is good, the love that they're showing to their neighbors, to their families, to their friends, to their church family. Thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit is so present because of their faith in you. Lord, I pray for anyone in this room who has never put their faith in you, Jesus. Would you reveal to them that you are the way, the truth, the life. You are the way to salvation, the way to redemption. That in you, they just stop the treadmill of their own works, that they would just give their life over to you. Show them that you are the way, that you love them. God, I pray for those of us who know you. Lord, give us even more biblical knowledge. More open the eyes of our heart, so that we might learn your character, your ways, who you are. Continue to unlock in amazing ways, just understanding, deep understanding of your truths, things we have no business understanding, but give them to us. Why? So that we might live them out. Lord, give us wisdom. Give every soul in this room and who are with us online as well, wisdom to practice the godliness you've taught us. Let us see the world the way you do, not the way we want to see it. And Lord Jesus, I ask through your Spirit that you would uncover the eyes of anyone here who is really going through it or will be. Remind us of the hope of the amazing, insurmountable, unattainable hope of the treasures that await us. It's the green tape. It's the airport. It's not our whole life. It's to come. And so, Lord, whatever that hardship, I pray you'd heal the sickness. I pray you'd heal the marriage. I pray you'd heal the loneliness, the grief that's in this room. But, oh, Lord, keep them walking, fixing their eyes on the hope of Jesus, and so they might live it out in joy. Lord, I pray, lastly, that you would remind us and experience in powerful ways the power of Christ, the Holy Spirit who's with us, to remind us nothing is beyond you, Lord, that your name is above all names. Reveal that to us, God. Show us in a fresh way that we do not need to be afraid, because you are our God. And you go before us, and you are behind us, and you are with us. And use us, oh Jesus. Use us as a church, as individual believers, families. use us for a force for what is good, so that others will know no other name, no other name but yours should receive glory and honor. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to, let's stand and sing.